Maloni, Talohani, Talofalava, Malo le soifu, Malelangi mama, Kia orana, Malo elelei, Fakalofa lahiatu, Talofa, Kokumele mele puka, Mau, Mai teama, E momo lava piki, pe te tato tamana i talangi, Motana tauhinga, Manahaka manuyanga, Mugitato uma. Mate ola mate malohe ku maue ki tātou, o ka tino ina tātou tamohaina bēnei. Yeah. Once again, warm Pacific greetings to all our listeners. You are tuned in and listening to Te Ama Radio on Planet FM 104.6 or live streaming online at www.planetaudio.org.nz. Or if you missed the broadcast, listen for the next 7 days at www.planetaudio.org.nz/Te Ama Pacifica House.
Good morning. Talo falava malo lele kia orana. Again, Te Ama Community Radio. Today, we are so blessed and privileged to be able to be here in the studio this morning. But as we do normally, we must, first of all, we give thanks and praises to our Heavenly Father for His provision, protection, and for the many blessings that He has bestowed upon us all. Therefore, we acknowledge His presence with us here this morning. Eviki pe lava tō tātou tamana i te langi, mō anaka manuianga i lahi, mō ki tātou mō lava tau tukatahi. Mō tātou kāinga, maho anau, o le mea leo lāmata i nai lā tātou pokalame i le tatalo, tātou tatalo.
Dear Lord, we are here this morning and we thank you for this day, we thank you for life, we thank you for your blessing in our lives, and we thank you that we can be here to share with each other and with our listeners. And right now, Lord, just want to pray a special blessing on our listeners this morning. And may they hear something this morning that inspires them and draws them closer to you. This is my prayer in your name. Amen.
Amen. Welcome back. It is such a beautiful day today. I look out my window and I can see the wind just a little bit blowing, which is, it's quite good. Praise the Lord for this new day. This morning we're having two speakers, and one of them is not quite make it. And so we have the privilege of welcoming the one that we have this morning here is Mr. Carl Saifoloi. Mr. Carl Saifoloi, who is the community pastor. He's also very passionate about youth. And so we welcome you, and Malo Soifua Tala Falava Carl Saifoloi, and also to Mr. Anderson. Good morning. How are you guys this morning?
Yeah, we're good. How are you? How are you, young man? No, we're very good, thank you. And it's good to be here, and yeah, lovely to be in the setting and sort of get a view of what you guys are doing for the community, which is really exciting.
Mm. Thank you, yes. And we came through this morning. It was quite a traffic, you know, coming from South Auckland. And you arrived here early, which really shows that your passion, and also bringing with you one of your youth supporter or assistant, Mr. Anderson. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Wow, very good. Thank you, sir. You're looking so handsome. And do you do some kind of training out there, like to do you? Well, I was going to say, do you force your dad over there to take you for a walk?
Maybe.
Ah, yes. Try and do that every morning. Yeah. And Mr. Saifoloi, thank you so much for coming here this morning. And may I ask you this question for the sake of our listeners? Saifoloi, can you please tell us where were you born, and also a little bit about your background?
Okay, well, I was born in Christchurch, and quite a few years ago. I won't say exactly how many, but I was born in Christchurch. I have a brother and an older brother and a younger sister, and my dad is Samoan, and my mum is Tangata Whenua. She's from the far north.
Right.
So that's the mixture that we have. And we were brought up in Christchurch, and so we feel like Kiwis, but we know we have this tradition in both in the Māori and the Samoan Pacific culture.
Right.
But growing up in Christchurch, there wasn't a lot of that, and so we were really strangers to it until we came up to Auckland and started discovering a few things about who we are. We have been to Samoa many times now recently, and so we are building that connection to our Pacific and our Māori roots. So it's a learning, it's a journey for us, we're loving it.
Mr. Saifoloi, thank you for sharing that. Would you like to shout out to your Tangata Whenua whānau and also to your Samoa whānau?
Yeah, sure. Kia ora to all our whānau up north, especially those in Kaitaia, which is where a lot of my family, my mother's family are. And our people up there, they live very close to the 90 Mile Beach.
Yes.
And we say hello to them. That's the Balas family.
Right.
So I'm saying kia ora to the Balas family that are out there.
Mm.
And to my dad's family, the Saifoloi family, they mainly live out west here, out this side. And Malo Talofa to them, and to anybody that is from the beautiful village of Lefanga, which is situated by the beautiful Paradise Beach.
Yes, of course.
Famous for the movie Return to Paradise.
Exactly.
So that's my dad's home.
Mm.
So Talofa to.
Kia ora and tēnā koe. Yeah, Talofa lava malo le soifua. And so, Carl, have you been back to Samoa?
Yeah, we have been back. Our first trip to Samoa as a family was in 1982.
Mm-hmm.
And Dad hadn't been back to Samoa since the 1950s. So that was an amazing trip for him. And we got to see Dad's home. And I'll never forget flying, as you fly to the islands at night time, you look out the window and it's just black, you see nothing.
Right.
And then as we started to come close to Samoa, you could see the the fires of the umu and the little whales, and of course that brought tears to my dad's eyes. Mm. You know. So it was quite a moving experience for him, and it was neat. But since then, we've been back a few times and just visiting, yeah.
And siblings, are they all in Samoa? Are they here? Or?
No, I have an older brother who lives in Queensland, Surfers Paradise. So he's been a musician for many years, and just being a professional musician there for probably the last 30 years. And but now he's kind of given it away, and it's a young man's game, really. So he's older now, so he does that. My sister lives here in Auckland, and she does therapeutic massage, and she does it for lots of big companies, and she actually does it for all the majority of the music shows that come here. So her last job was Justin Bieber.
Oh, right, yeah.
So often she'll get some tickets for us because she's, you know, working behind the scenes there. But she has massaged some very, very famous people.
Hmm.
And she keeps that to herself. She has all these little photos in her that we all have a little laugh and think, wow.
Hmm.
You know, that's a nice privilege. Eh?
Hmm.
So that's what she does. Yeah.
Yeah, Faftai. You know, Carl, it's so good to have you here this morning in this very studio. It's a blessing. I have seen you. I have known of you. But today I have discovered that you are tangata whenua.
Mm.
It is such a blessing. And I know also that I've seen you singing. In the church in Papatoetoe.
Mm.
That much I have come to know of you. And I also know that you have a passion for youth.
Mm-hmm.
You have a passion for music. I was going to ask you to sing on air, actually, but I won't do that.
Thank you.
No, so next time you bring your guitar.
No good on my own.
No good on your own.
It's got to be with a lot of people to drown out the flat notes.
So now I know where the singing gift that you have, you know, with the being a tangata whenua, because the singing is so beautiful, as well as the Pacific Islander gift as well.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm part of a group called Day 7. It's all men. There's about 14 of us, and we come together because we enjoy each other's company.
Mm.
We get to get away from our wives. Oh, it doesn't sound bad.
Okay.
Like that, but we get to have a break and get together as men, and we really enjoy the fellowship.
Yes.
And we, in our practices, we are laughing more than we are practicing. You know.
Right.
And we eat a lot, laugh a lot, and then we remember, oh, we better practice the song. So that's how our group is. But we've had the privilege of. We've been to the Cook Islands, we've been to Samoa, we've been to Tahiti, and we've been up and down this country, doing what we love doing, and experiencing each other's fellowship, and spreading the message of the gospel through song and testimony.
Yes.
So, it's an awesome group of guys, and we enjoy doing that.
So can you get your Day 7 men's group ready, because you're going to be bringing them all here?
Oh,
would that be good?
You know, they are mainly Pacific Island boys, and I don't know if this place is big enough to. might have to extend the building.
Yeah,
but I'll take the invitation to them. I'm sure they'll be happy to come. Yeah.
Oh, lovely! So you have a lot more in your ministry that you're running, not only for the youth, but you already. Sharing with us that you sing to as a ministry to minister to people, as well sharing your testimonies.
Yes.
This is exactly what this program is all about. So we look forward to having you and your Day 7 men's group to come here and sing to our listeners.
Okay.
They're hearing us now, so you better be ready. Is that right, Mr. Anderson? Yes, you're going to be part of that. What do you think? All right. So, thank you once again. Now, my question to you. Kao Saifoloi, because of your passion for the youth, what is Youth Horizons?
Youth Horizons. Well, I I do some work for a they're an NGO, a non-government organisation, but they specialise in mentoring young people around using behavioural change methods. So what they do is they ask foster, you know, people to volunteer to be foster carers for young people who mostly have been disadvantaged in life. All our young people come to us through SIFs, and the idea is to try and get them on a good path. So we normally get them probably from the age of 12 through to the age of 15, 16. And the goal is they'll come and live in the home of a foster carer. And but it's more than just providing a roof and food, but it's also about putting them through a behaviour change management program, which is based on incentives and if you don't follow the program, then privileges are taken away. So it's teaching young people, you know, if you behave, you get rewards.
Right.
When you don't behave, those rewards get taken away.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that way, we seek and try our best to change the behaviour and hopefully make them, you know, help them on the pathway to independence and to be better citizens.
Well, for the sake of our listeners, this morning, Kausai Foloi actually has a very handsome young man with him, and he actually does. I wish you could see him. He's tall and slim and very handsome, as well as looking fit, and that's why I thought he was taking his, you know, dad for a run every morning. Is that right, Mr. Anderson?
Sure is.
Oh, wow. Pretty good. Keep it up. Just keep it up. All right. So thank you so much, you know, for the work that you're doing. And I have known that of you to be very passionate with the young people and also to be fostering these children. That's what God expects of us, right? To take care of our children, because he's given these children to us as a gift.
Yeah.
And he also says in Proverbs 22, verse 6, is it? Train up the child the way they should go?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think it's a major problem we have in this country. I was just listening to the news and the problems that we're having with young people all over this country. And at the moment, Kaikohe is in the limelight with the struggle with its, you know, with young people in that town. And and just the breakdown of the family is a big issue. Parents are feeling powerless. They don't have the skills to bring up their children. And what we're seeing is a lot of grandparents are trying to stand in the gap and stand in that space. And it's hard on our older people because the problems are different. But it's something I think that the country is really aware of. I think that our politicians really need to address in terms of, you know, putting resources in these areas to get our young people back on track.
Yeah.
But of course, it starts before, you know, it really starts in the home. And there's a big need around parenting.
Yeah.
And so, in the other work that I do as a community pastor, we do a lot of parenting and try and help, especially young parents.
Yeah.
Get their head around and get some skills about how to raise children and teach them things like respect and self-control. And so I think those are things we're really lacking today with a lot of young people. There's no sense of respect for authority. That's really disappearing. And there's very little self-control. We've failed to teach young people how to have self-control. So we're reaping what we've sown, I think, over the last couple of decades. So, no, but we need people. We need good people in the community, and the police can't do it by themselves. You know, the politicians can't make the difference by themselves. We need people in the community, good people, who will stand up, put their hand up and say, yes, I'm going to make a contribution. Mm.
Yes, together we'll make the difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just want to talk a little bit more about love. yourself because of the passion that you have. You're a husband.
Yes.
You're a father. You're a community pastor. You're a youth leader. You're a son. You're a brother. You're a nephew. You're an uncle. What is it that that's in you that brings out this word love for the work that you're doing? Because you have to have love and understanding what is that kind of love.
Yeah. Well, I think love is the key. But we have to understand. I think it's very difficult to portray true love if we don't know the source of that love. And the source of the love that I'm talking about is God. It's Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Spirit. And sometimes it's easy to love somebody that you know or that is part of your family. But to have love for somebody that you don't know, even somebody that you might not like, is very unnatural. And that sort of love can only come through the power of the Holy Spirit, because it's God's love that loves like that. And I heard a really good definition for love a few weeks ago, and that is that love is when you put somebody else first. That's what love is, putting somebody else first. And I think we've lost a lot of that in our society. We're so consumerist. We are so, we think life is all about accumulating, you know, assets and accumulating things. And we get so busy with that. And we forget, no, actually, if people stop loving other people, then everything comes to a grinding halt. And there's no love left, and when there's no love left, then we start seeing what the world looks like, and it's very bleak and very dark. And there are pockets in this country that are experiencing that right now, just an absence of love, and those places are very bleak and very dark.
For the sake of our listeners, and you know, not only our beautiful and loving listeners, right now I'm doing the interview, and this morning as I walked in, and I saw Carl Saifoloi and this young man with him, and somehow my first impression of seeing these two men, which is a father figure to this young man, and we spoke with them, and that love between these two men was quite strong, and that I picked it up from the father to the son. And he just said something like, you know, it's easy to love the people that you know, but it's easier to love, that's what I'm picking up, it's easier to love somebody that you don't know. And yes, and this young man who is sitting there nodding his head, agreeing everything I said, because that's what I picked up, that love between this Carl and Mr. Anderson. He wants me to call him Mr. Anderson. And it's just, it's really, really evident that the relationship between these two is nothing else but the bond of love.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's correct. I mean, we have a lot of fun together, but there's also times where I have to be tough on this guy. But at the end of the day, I think he knows that there is a relationship there, that there is care and concern for him personally. And we are feeling the same from him as well, towards us. So it's... yeah, it's really strange, because I'm, you know, into my 50s now, and I have a grandchild, and I thought what our life was going to look like, our kids have grown up, and I thought, wow, now we can relax and just sit back and enjoy, you know, we don't want to go through those teenage years again. And then, lo and behold, God puts in front of us this challenge to do something that we never thought we would do. And especially at our stage of life, we just want to start relaxing. And then this Mr. Anderson comes on the scene. And we're starting all over again, sort of thing. But I think it's something that God's given us to teach us something. Mm-hmm. There's a purpose to it. And we are actually growing as, my wife and I are actually growing as people. You know, as you get older, you start to lose patience, you know. That's what I've been finding, and I think it's almost God is saying, I'm going to show you that you need to still have patience. Here's Mr. Anderson, you look after this fella.
Yes, and like I'm saying, I can see this the connection, and also he's quite attached to you. That's why I picked up, and I haven't seen him before.
Mm.
You know, sort of thing. So that's why I believe in having that sense of love, and that love can only be God's love.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. So, Mr. Anderson, you're looking so handsome, even more and more so now. Yeah? What do you want to tell your father right now at this moment after, you know, what we've been saying? You're very blessed. And like he said, he's also blessed. And you are loved. And he also said that he's loved. So that's the connection between the both of you. I myself, I'm really touched, actually. I want the listeners to know that I'm really touched by this, what I'm seeing right before my eyes this morning. It's quite unique. And because of that, we're just going to go for a break. Is that all right,
Sefoloi? Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So our listeners, kia ora ana talofa lava. Kia kia aaune mata fulu fulu ola wamahau maila fana fana mai kia. Pacifica Health, welcome back. And talofa lava, kia ora tēnā koe, Carl, and also Mr. Anderson, kia ora. And kia ora nā to our presenter this morning, Adeline Taivaranga.
Kia ora everyone, talofa, kia ora nā. And it's good to continue this interview with Carl. Carl, I first met you at Longburn.
Yeah.
You remember?
Yes. Yeah.
So we're like from way back at when we were in our teens.
We were in our teens.
Yeah, and we first saw you there. I had come from the islands, and you had just come back from your trip from Samoa and all that or something.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and we met a lot of young people that have had a significance in our lives, you know, later on, because I also know your wife.
Yes.
I've met your parents, your family, and I remember your sister, Ariana.
Yep.
Yeah, so we were at Longburn. What are your, just briefly, what are your recollections of Longburn? What was it like to be a boarder?
Yeah, well, Longburn College, just for the listeners, is quite unique in that it is a co-ed boarding school, where normally it's a boys' boarding or girls' boarding, but this was co-ed boarding. So it was quite unique and quite rich, I felt, in our experience. But I remember just having a lot of fun.
Mm.
I remember starting the journey of discovering my identity before coming to Longburn.
Mm.
You know, as many young people are, they just don't really know who they are.
Mm.
And I was no different. And I thought, before coming here, I thought I was a gangster before coming to Longburn.
Wanna because be a gangster?
Yeah, I want to be gangster. Nothing's changed these days. And that's what I thought I was when I got to Longburn.
Mm.
I started discovering, no, that's not who I am. I just started discovering lots of other things. I started discovering that it's a relationship with Jesus Christ, not just knowing and having a knowledge, but a relationship with Jesus Christ that really brings the magic. And so that all started at Longburn. I also met my wife at Longburn,
Karen.
And we just celebrated 30 years of marriage this
Congratulations.
Year. Congratulations. So Longburn was a significant milestone in my life. And I know I can confidently say if it wasn't for Longburn, I could be in a very different place right now.
Yeah, it had a very positive and a spiritual impact on you. You know, I've got photos in my album of us singing.
Yeah.
I don't know if you still got that. And, I was just talking to Fale this morning about that background that you have with music. And we find that music is one thing that's quite attractive to young people these days. You know, so then it's interesting to hear that you're involved in Day 7 and that. Okay. With your background, as you mentioned, the background, the educational background, the spiritual background, the spiritual and godly upbringing in your family has obviously nurtured you or influenced you to where you are today. Can you kind of say a few things on your upbringing, your education, the journey you had prior to where you are now?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I had great parents, godly parents. They weren't perfect parents, but they tried, and they tried to instill in us the values. And so I think, you know, I remember Mum used to read us those Bible stories, man, every night, you know.
That's right.
And I will never forget them. They just became part of me, and I used, in my imagination, I would always, you know, bring up those Bible stories as a way, as a guide to how to live life. And so, that was a huge influence. Church has been a huge influence. I just think that those things have been really influential, my parents.
Yes.
But there always comes a time when you have to discover your relationship for yourself with Jesus Christ. And I think a lot of young people today, they grow up with their mum and dad's beliefs, but they have never really deconstructed those beliefs for themselves.
That's right.
And they just hang on to what mum and dad believe. So I started a journey of doing that probably about 20 years ago, deconstructing the religion and the beliefs my mum and dad handed me, and really opening that box to see whether or not it was still true for me in my relationship with Jesus. So just a very healthy thing to do, I think.
Yes.
And you don't destroy what you've been learnt, but everybody should have a really close look.
Yeah, and you build on it.
And you build on it, and you make it real for you, and you get to know Jesus Christ for yourself.
Yeah, just a few things. When I came here, we heard this word 360. We're just going to touch on that very briefly, and then we'll move on to the organization, the Youth Horizon. Can you just share a bit on your journey or your experience and your reasons for going into ministry, like with 360, Pathfinders, Youth Ministry, Men's Ministries? Those sorts of things.
So, I mean, before coming into ministry, and when I say that, I now believe that ministry is not necessarily somebody who works full-time in the church. I believe anybody who is a follower of Jesus Christ is in ministry wherever they are working, they are. And so, but at the time, we came into ministry at a time when we were doing fairly well financially.
Right.
I had a business and my wife was an assistant principal at a school.
Right.
So we were doing pretty well. And we had just bought a couple of houses. We were about to buy a third house. And we were climbing, you know, just doing that, what most Kiwis do, many Kiwis do, and that was important to us at the time, until my daughter and her friends came up to me at a Pathfinder camp, which is similar to Scouts for our listeners, and they said, Uncle Carl, we've been talking all night, and we think that when we reach the age of 18, we're going to leave church.
Wow,
that hit me,
and that's profound.
Thought, that was a change right there for me, and I had to ask myself, hey, what's really important? Is it chasing the money, or is it really doing something to keep these kids, including my kids,
your children,
connected to Jesus Christ? So, at that point, we made a decision to change tack. An opportunity came up to work at church. It was financial suicide. you don't go and work at church for money. And especially in New Zealand, maybe different if you live in Samoa. It's not a bad income.
I don't know, yeah.
But in New Zealand, you don't. So we had to make some major changes to our life. We had to sell up a lot of assets so that we could be debt free. And we came into ministry with nothing. And I remember for the first year, we really struggled financially. We were paid on a monthly basis, and we weren't used to that. We had to rebudget everything. We had to say to our kids that life is changing, but we made them the promise that God will never leave us.
You'll forsake us.
So it was an amazing experience. We had miracles happen in our life. We just at the right time when we had run out of milk and bread, somebody would just slip us a $20 here and $20 there. And that's what it was like for the first 12 months. And then we got used to the adjustment. And we started realizing what it's like to...
Just very quickly, if we can go back onto Youth Horizons, can you tell us a bit more that you may not have already shared about this, how you got involved, the needs, the contacts, all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, I got involved because somebody else who was in it, who's a very dear friend of mine, you may know Tata Strickland.
Oh, definitely.
He gave me a call and he said, look, why don't you have a look at this? They need people, you know, why don't you have a look? So I did, and... so I ended up doing foster caring along with Tata, and we have been doing that together for a while. And it's a blessing, it's a challenge, but it's so needed, in our country.
With the organisation, where are they at? How can people get involved in either registering or offering their time, their homes to take care of, you know?
Well, they're always looking for foster carers. Okay. I mean, if you just ring the, Google Youth Horizons, they're based in Mount Wellington, and let them know that you're interested in foster caring. They have a great support system, so you don't go into this alone.
Yes.
There's a definite program to follow, so you're not just floundering.
Right.
They have psychologists and therapists in the company, so that, you know, they're very well resourced. And so
what's the criteria? Is there a criteria? Do you go through screening and all that before?
You go through all the necessary screening. So that's really important. But the criteria really is to find people that... you know, that have a love for young people, that want to see them succeed.
As Fale was saying, that this involves, you know, love. You got to love and have compassion for these people. I'd like to ask a question to Mr. Anderson, very important guest this morning. What are some of the cool things you've done with your foster dad here?
Don't know.
I'm sure you do. Maybe he can just remind you.
Man camp.
You went on a camp. What are some of the things you did there? Motorbike riding.
Yeah.
Was that cool? Yeah. Were the meals good? Pretty cool. You're a bit shy today, but you know, you have benefited from it. And vegetarian, we had the healthy food.
we had the Guinness Book of World Records barbecue at that camp.
Oh.
And because it was man camp, there was no salads. It was just
what's a man camp, by the way?
Oh, it's all, we invite men to this camp. All you have to do is be between the ages of 12 and 112.
Okay. Well, that was a dumb question.
Yeah, what is man camp? It's a man camp. It's for men.
Okay.
And but we do a lot of stuff that guys like to do. So we did a lot of motorbike riding. We'd play golf. We was in Rotorua, so we went to the luge. You know, we did all those things that guys... We went to the hot pools, then we watched the rugby. And
so you guys did cool things, a lot of cool things, Mr. Anderson.
But then we also talk about what it means to be a man.
Right.
That it's not just about being tough and strong. It's also about love. It's also about lots of different things.
And with these men, I'm sure you would have had role models, mentors. You know, you have these... definitely. You know,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So what we have is we have guys like Mr. Anderson here, and then, you know, guys like the guys from Day 7 who come along. And there's a lot of mentoring that goes on, just natural mentoring.
Yes.
Nothing programmed, really, but just conversations that can be had. And, it's really valuable. But it's open to the community. So if anybody wants to know about Man Camp, if you have some young people that you'd like to send along, or you'd like to come along yourself and you're an older guy and you can do some mentoring and help us out, you're more than welcome to come.
Just a quick question. Is there a time limit on your fostering, or like a year, 2 years, or depending?
Not really. Mostly, most situations, fostering situations last between 12 and 18 months.
Right.
But it really just depends on the individual situation, and it also depends on whether or not the you know, the participants, the young people, have a place to go to after the program.
After that, yes. Yeah. I was just going to ask that question. What's the follow up after that?
Well, that's a really good question, because that's a real struggle at the moment. Mm. Because we will often get young people on the right track, you know, and they're doing really well. They've changed a lot of their bad habits. And the only option that we often have is to send them back to the environment that they came from,
right,
which is often not helpful. And so there is a real need, I think, for another, another system where we take young people who have graduated from this program and we put them in a situation where we can train them into independence. It now becomes getting your license, getting all your identifications, learning what it means to get a job, practicing your interviewing skills, if they're still in school, get them doing as well as they can in school. If it's a trade that they're interested in, then get them hooked up to the relevant courses. And so that's another stage that we need to embark on. And so I'm passionate about creating that new part of the process.
Are you aware of any success stories like that have come back, and you know, where people, are you aware of any people who have left the program and you've heard stories, they've come back, or
I mean, they're not all success stories, you know. Some of the young people revert back. And like I say, it's the problem, because they come to us, they get some of their bad habits out of the way, then we send them back to the same situation, which is sad. Just in my situation, I've had a young man, the young man before this guy that I've had, he came into our care and through me at Youth Horizons, and he's doing a building apprenticeship.
That's cool.
So we think that he's well on his way to a good future and contributing well to this country.
That's good. Just another question that's come up. Are you limited to how many young people you can foster at a time?
Yeah, they like us to have one. And just to focus on that one, and put all the energy into that. Yeah, absolutely.
That's pretty good.
Beside Mr. Anderson's, how many children do you have, Carl?
Of my own?
Yes.
I have three children.
Three?
Yeah, and they're all adult now, but they all stay with us still.
they'll always be your children?
Yeah. So my daughter's married with her husband, so they stay with us. We stay in a big house, and we love it, actually. We really love
family.
It. It's family. It's kind of, it feels like how life should be, you know. And even though they're independent and they have their jobs and things, but we all live together. We all have meals together.
We
go to church. We meet up on the weekends. We have our Bible study group on a Wednesday night and with their friends. And we just love the communal sort of living, yeah.
Yeah, I think one of the values in that kind of living style is that there's, you know, sometimes when we go our separate ways, sometimes we don't hear from each other for a while.
Yeah.
There, you know, there's to that disconnection. Mm. We don't know what the others are doing and all that.
Mm.
And sometimes you only come when there are special occasions, but in your occasion, they're there.
Yeah.
The house is big enough, so it's good.
Yeah, we're kind of there. We see each other. We help each other out. It's really good.
That's what family is all about. And love means family.
Yeah.
Family means love. And you were talking about that men camps, you know. It sounds really, really exciting and interesting. Mm. So which part did you like, Mr. Anderson? Come closer. You know, about is it bike or the barbecue, or which part of that camp did you really, really like? You know, did you compete with somebody on the bikes?
Wrestling with the boys.
What's that?
Mr. Anderson's a bit shy, but I'm sure he really enjoyed it.
Well, he's actually doing a skip on the phone, you know, like, on the mic. Yeah, can you say that, what you just said about the mic? Okay.
It's really funny to see, because he really doesn't have a problem talking.
Yeah,
he has a problem talking.
Yeah, I realise how helpful he is, because you needed something from the car, and he was very helpful, and he didn't hesitate to help out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, this is really good, Saifaloi, and I know there is a lot more that you have to share with our listeners, especially with families, especially with young people. And I particularly like the last bit that you said about families together, sharing the meals together. Do you know that is not happening today with many, many families, which is really sad.
Yeah.
But just listening to you, and that's what we're picking up, and you know, the fact that you have these young men with you all the time, and then your family still with you in a big home, having meals together, Bible studies together. That is so good. Thank you for sharing that on, you know, with our audience. Life is too short, isn't it?
Oh, it's short, yeah. Yeah, it is short, yeah. Yeah, you got to, you really got to live life to the full. Mm. And that doesn't mean you don't have to have lots of money to do that. You know, it is a bit like we've been saying.
Yeah.
Experiencing and giving love to those who are around you is experiencing life to the full.
Yeah. Mr. Carl Saifaloi, we're coming towards the end of our program, but we haven't really finished asking you this and more questions, and especially with your, I think we call him our very, very special guest this morning, is Mr. Anderson. Mm. And so just one last question, Mr. Saifaloi, what would you like your listeners, your audience, to take home message today?
And put others first. Put others first. I think magic really happens when we put others first. And it's very hard to do that when we live in a world, in our education system, our political system, all our systems is really geared towards making yourself first and doing things for yourself. But I think when Jesus was here, why he was so revolutionary and why he broke down all the systems was because he simply lived by the value of putting others first. Mm. And I think we can bring about big changes, you know, firstly in our families. I think that's the place to start. Mm. And then if we can transform a family, you can have an impact on a street. And if you can transform a street, you can have an impact on a community, and an impact on a city, and an impact on a country. But it really starts with putting someone else first, and a good place to start practicing that is in our families.
Mm.
Putting what are we doing for our families? How are we asking this question? You know, I know, you know, especially for you husbands out there, you know, a great question that you should try asking your wife when you get home is, how can I make your day better?
Mm.
How can I make your day better? And the transformation that can bring in relationships. Asking our kids, how can I make your day better? And they'll start asking the same question eventually as well, and we start caring for each other. So, yeah.
Thank you. It's been such a blessing having you here, Mr. Carl Saifaloi. And Mr. Anderson, would you like to say goodbye to your beautiful listeners this morning? Yeah, come closer to your mic, where you can shout from there. Yeah. Say thank you to our listeners.
Bye-bye.
Kāpai. Oh, kāpai tato kātua toa. Okay. And to our listeners, we will see you again and next time, next week. And take care. God bless you all. Thank you, Carl Saifaloi. Thank you, Anderson, Mr. Anderson. And also to our presenter, Adeline Taivaranga.
God bless you all, and thank you for listening in to Planet FM 104.6. Listen in again, same time next week. Take care of each other, love each other, and God bless you all. And thank you, Carl and Mr. Anderson. God bless you all.
Thank you.
that in this life